Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Ron Warren with Fish Program, here to talk to you about a rule proposal on the nacelle to consider the ban or prohibition of internal combustion motors from floating devices while fishing. The current rule that's in place was adopted during the last North of Falcon process that we went through. We put this rule in place and were asked at that time to extend it to a year-round basis. The rule is actually in place from Highway 4 upstream to the Crown Mainline or the Salmi Bridge from August 1st to November 15th. The reason we chose those dates was because that was the majority of the salmon season. We didn't want to extend and overlap into the steelhead season, come outside the bounds of the authority of the North Falcon process to have a steelhead rule in place during a salmon process. Just a little bit of background that in May, after North Falcon, the commission received a petition to take this action. Under RCW 3405-330, the agency must deny the petition or initiate rulemaking. And on a conference call on the 21st of June, the commission directed us to initiate rulemaking. The proposed rule would prohibit year-round fishing from a floating device equipped with an internal combustion motor in the Nacelle River from Highway 4 to the Salmi Bridge. So for those who aren't familiar with where we might be talking about, the Nacelle River is in southwest Washington, and the affected area is about 9.4 miles. You can see the Highway 4 bridge marker just as a reference point, so you can see where the approximate location of the Nacelle hatchery is, and then the remainder of the stretch that's closed up to the Salmi Bridge at River Mile 23.6. The public process that we followed, CR 101, was filed in early July. We did hold a public meeting the first part of September. The CR 102 was filed October 18th, and the public comment period was open from then to November 29th. And then we're here today, obviously a public testimony or a public hearing. So I'm hoping that you'll get to hear from people after I complete. Public comment to date, the public meeting, we had 20 people, so we did have a rousing attendance. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but staff had a good meeting, and during the public comment, we've received 8 comments, 6 from that local area, 1 Puget Sound, and then 1 Eastern Washington resident. That public comment was somewhat split. But in support, those looked at that the river was too small for boats with motors and that there were safety concerns for the bank anglers because of the boat traffic that may be in those stretches. Those opposing lost opportunity. The access for disabled anglers would be lost and suggested maybe a smaller motor size. And then the one individual that said we already have too many rules. So that's actually a very quick run through of where we are today. Like the previous briefing, I'll be back in January for possible or for commission action. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions? Good job.
Thank you.
Explaining.
Sorry, I was late, by the way.
Well, we were early. We were running a little early, ahead of schedule. Looks like you've done your work, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we can open the public hearing. Do we have anyone who signed up? Surprise, surprise. Yes. we have my friend from Nacelle. Steve, if you want to come up, you have 3 minutes to give us your testimony. When you hear the beeping noise, your time is up. This is Steve Gackey. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Wecker and Commissioners and Director Anderson. I am Steve Gackey from Nacelle. I've lived there for 23 years. Been very active in dealing with both fish and hunting issues. My last commission meeting was in about 18 years ago in Wenatchee, but I'm glad to be back. As a school board director, I have a sense for the work you folks do and understand the time and commitment it takes, and I just want you to know that I appreciate it. I don't have it nearly on the scale you do, but I do understand it's a volunteer job and takes a lot of time. So thank you for your service. I was appointed to the Willapa Bay Advisory Board about a year ago and received an email from Kurt Hughes shortly after that asking me to provide regulations for the Nacelle River that, in his words, were in a perfect world. And rather than Steve saying, I know how to do this, and putting down what I thought, I sought out to contact many of my friends and neighbors, folks on the river, just polling them on issues and concerns, and also talked to many of the landowners who are neighbors, friends, and relatives, hatchery staff, and enforcement. And from that, a document was prepared that I forwarded to the region for consideration as part of the North Falcon process. And I believe you may have a copy of that. Did you receive a copy of that? I did.
Yes.
They do have that. Okay. And that's this document here.
Okay. Yes.
And the only reason I sent that to you, Ron did a very thorough job of explaining the circumstance. But to show the fact that we did ask for a year-round closure, but what we ended up getting was August 1st to November 15th. The weir in the river in this affected area goes in on August 1st and comes out on October 15th. Mm-hmm. And it's closed to fishing during that time. Most of the time period of that, where the ban that's in place occurs, you can't fish there to begin with, and the water's so low, you couldn't put a boat in there if you wanted to. When the weir's gone, we normally don't have water conditions to allow any type of boat activity till mid-November, heading on into Thanksgiving. That's when we start getting our freshets. And the occurrences that I never did observe them myself, but
go ahead and finish up the thought.
These were reported to me from all the contacts that I had. There was evidently 3 or 4 times where it occurred where jet sleds and only jet sleds were coming up the river. No consideration for the bank fishermen. There's public access here. There's bank fishermen throughout the river system, and they ran clear to the hatchery. Turbidity in the water, wakes on the riverbanks, and so that's what brought us to this issue, and we just don't feel that the 15th of November is an adequate date. The Lake Coho steelhead start coming in about mid-November, and right, we're kind of heading into the peak right now. So I would request that you strongly consider this agenda item and adopt it in January, and would very much appreciate your consideration. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a couple comments as someone that knows a little bit about boats and motors over my career. I saw one of the public comments was to go to restrict the internal combustion engines to something under 10 horsepower. Many, many bodies of water throughout the United States have restrictions, and that's why all the motor manufacturers have 9.9 on their engine. For example, on the side of their motor, it's horsepower rating. That's to comply with that rule. So if you took a 16 or 18-foot boat, I don't care if it's an aluminum sled or it's an inflatable boat, and you put a 9.9-horse motor on there, it's going to go about five or six miles an hour. And you're trying to deal with the internal combustion engines, or you could put on there now these new state-of-the-art electric motors, and they're going to push about 5 or 6 miles an hour. I just throw that out, not to weigh in on the issue, but just to make everyone aware that you're not restricting electric motors.
No, not at all.
And they're basically going to provide the same amount of performance or speed on a 15, 16-foot boat as a 9.9 four-stroke outboard would. So.
Can I make a comment
sure.
about that?
You invited it.
What I'd like you all to understand is the occurrences that resulted in us asking and bring this to you are the only occurrences that have occurred with any type of a motorized boat in this stretch of the river. The lower tidewater where the troll fishery is, that is predominantly done with an electric motor. 99% of the boat users, they use that for a number of reasons, but that's all that's used in the tidewater. There's never been a motorized boat seen in this particular stretch of the water until this occurrence happened a couple years ago. So,
I want to compliment you, Steve. You've done such a good job making your point and bringing the issue to the advisory group. Steve called me, a few months ago, 6 months ago or so, and he said, you know, am I doing this right? You know, he was just came in the spirit of reasoned contribution, and we really appreciate that. And so I think you've done a good job. All right. Thanks.
Well, and thank you, Miranda, because I appreciate the insight you gave me as well. Thank you very much.
Great. Okay, that concludes the public hearing on the topic. We'll be making a decision in January. So now we've reached. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Holzmiller.
This is pointed towards Commissioner Carpenter. What would your suggestions be? A 10 horsepower limit on it then, you think, or what?
I don't know that I have a suggestion. I just wanted to put that out there so everybody understood what the industry can provide, whether it's four-stroke 9.9 motors or electric motors. But, you know, the users down there will determine with some guidance from us what they're going to do, and I'm not trying to tread on anybody's turf. I just threw that out more as an informational perspective than anything else.
Okay. Let's